Humane Nature is an animal tourism podcast with discussions of animal abuse, injury, and medicine. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, travelers. Welcome back. I am so sorry this episode came out late. I know this is much later than usual, even when I am late. Just illnesses and everything, it was really hard to record because winter illnesses suck and they kind of wreck your ability to talk for long periods of time. But I'm here now and yeah. Before I start this episode, I just wanted to let you know that I will be taking some time off for the holidays and to rest and work on some content and other projects for the upcoming year. So season 2 of Humane Nature will resume in February, and this will be the last episode other than the bonus episodes through January for my patrons. A reminder that I no longer do monthly news episodes, but I do release weekly wildlife news updates on my TikTok, which you can follow me at Stumble Safari. It's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed picking out some of the articles and the news pieces that have really stood out to me the most from each week and presenting to you guys through video on TikTok. So let's get into this. Today we will be covering a pretty big topic: how film and other visual media affects the pet trade around the world. Some of our favorite animal-based films have caused massive fluctuations in demands for different animal breeds and species, and not always with good outcomes. Each time a film is released depicting animals, activists and spokespeople for major organizations, such as the American Humane Society, urge people not to purchase or adopt animals on a whim and to do their proper research on that species or breed first. This episode will solely focus on film and TV, so I am not going to include social media or viral YouTube videos or TikTok or really any other forms of media that can depict animals, pets, and wildlife. So just film and TV. So I kind of broke this episode up in my notes about the different kinds of animals because the really most affected animal that seems to happen when this does happen is different breeds of dog. So let's dive into how dog purchases and adoptions are affected by film and TV. The over-adoption and purchase of specific dog breeds is really the biggest culprit of how popular media affects the pet trade as a whole. In fact, dog breed popularity lasts up to 10 years after the release of a movie featuring a prominent breed, though the biggest effect is felt within a year of the movie or show's release. This suggests that watching a film featuring a specific dog breed can influence your opinion on that breed for years and influence your adoption or purchase of a dog later on in your life. Popular media has been proven to affect opinions on various topics, including fashion, politics, and animals. Children are especially susceptible to the perceptions given off by film and TV, especially when that film or television show is created for them. Most films, especially animated ones featuring a prominent animal character, is created for children. This can affect this child's perception of animals for the rest of their life and for the following generations. Obviously, I can't include every single film or TV show that includes a dog as its primary character, but I will discuss a few examples that have had really huge impacts. Some of the early on examples include the rise in popularity of Lassie in the 1940s. And when this occurred, the U.S. saw a 40% increase in collie registrations within the 2 years after the very first Lassie movie was released. When Disney's Shaggy Dog was released in 1959, the U.S. saw a 100% increase in Old English sheepdogs. In 1961, after the release of 101 Dalmatians, demand for Dalmatians skyrocketed. And let's dive into the Dalmatian adoptions and purchases specifically. Dalmatians are notoriously difficult to train and have extremely high energy. Without the proper care and exercise, they can become destructive or even aggressive. They have been bred in the past to be working dogs, and working dogs are very difficult to have as pets unless you know exactly how to properly take care of them. Historically, Dalmatians also don't usually like children. There are multiple reports out there of Dalmatians becoming aggressive or biting children. They just don't really get along, and we're not really entirely sure why. But children are the ones who are getting them, or who were getting them as gifts after the 101 Dalmatian movie came out. Dalmatians are definitely not as low maintenance as they appear in the films. And when the demand increased, so did unethical breeding. Puppy mills and inexperienced breeders began breeding Dalmatian puppies like crazy to fulfill the demand and earn a profit. The overbreeding caused genetic problems, increasing the difficulty in these already difficult breeds. Some of the inbreeding caused expensive medical issues, while others caused really awful behavioral problems. Once these puppies grew up and owners realized how difficult their new dog was, especially if they did not train it as a puppy, the dogs were quickly abandoned in shelters by the hundreds. This process repeated with sequels and remakes of the 101 Dalmatian movies, including 101 Dalmatians in 1996, 102 Dalmatians in 2000, and Cruella in 2021. After the 1996 remake, shelters and rescues reported a 25% increase in Dalmatians across the board being left 6 months to a year after the film came out. Some individual shelters saw record highs. 310% increase at a shelter in Boulder, Colorado was reported, and a 762% increase in a shelter in Tampa Bay, Florida. They prepared themselves for the same results in 2000 and in 2021. After this, a similar situation occurred with huskies after Game of Thrones was released and the breed was portrayed as the direwolves in the series. And when this occurred, the UK's largest dog rescue group called Dogs Trust reported a 420% increase in husky abandonment after they appeared in the first season. Chihuahua adoptions and breeding also skyrocketed after Beverly Hills Chihuahua came out in 2008. A study published in PLOS ONE in 2014 showed that the 10 movies with the highest effect over the following 10 years caused an increase in dog registration for over 800,000 dogs than compared to the 10 years before the movie release. So these most influential movies, so it doesn't happen with every single movie. Some movies are more popular than others. But the 10 most popular and influential movies showed an increase in these dog registrations of over 800,000 for 10 years after the movie was released versus the 10 years before that movie was released, which is absolutely nuts to me. Visual media has an extremely high impact on dog purchases and has had an immense impact on breed surrenders as well as inbreeding and other really unethical issues. A study conducted at University of Bristol, the City University of New York, and Western Carolina University found that the influence was strongest in the early 20th century and has declined since. This could be due to consumer education on the subject thanks to the internet, but is most likely due to an increase in films and TV featuring dogs coming out more often. More dog breeds equals more competition, meaning the more dog breeds we see in film and TV, there's more competition and more popular dog breeds for viewers to choose from. These films were released at a rate of less than one per year until 1940, with very limited TV, and in film at a rate of more than seven per year by 2005, which was not including TV. The same study found that, just like with fashion and fads, dog breed popularity would reach a peak, then dramatically drop, as so many people were purchasing them And then they suddenly became uncool to have this dog because everyone had that kind of dog. This suggests that some consumers treat dog breeds like fashion fads and trends and can ultimately contribute to the large number of the breed ending up in shelters as the owners move on to the next fad. What becomes popular rapidly also gets forgotten about very rapidly. I will include a picture of this really startling graph from this study on my Instagram. Other TV episodes or TV shows and films that have influenced dog breed popularity include Annie, The Secret Life of Pets, Dog, Old Yeller, Twilight, and Legally Blonde, along with hundreds of others. Now, this also occurs with animals other than dogs. Did you forget to get a gift for your third cousin that is making a rare appearance at your holiday party? What about your mailman, dog walker, or in-laws? An annual subscription to Audible makes a great gift. Give your loved one or acquaintance you're expected to give a gift to a 1, 3, 6, or 12 months access to original podcasts and thousands of audiobooks with one monthly credit for a free book of their choice beginning on their very first month. Or you can gift a specific audiobook that you think they'll love. You can support this podcast and snag an awesome gift by going to audibletrial.com/humane. That's audibletrial.com/humane, or by using the link in the description. Do you have an awesome podcast idea but aren't sure where to start? I personally use Buzzsprout to host my podcast because it's easy and affordable, perfect for a new podcaster. They help me list all of my episodes across podcast platforms, provide detailed analytics on how my podcasts are doing, and provide expert support when I need it. Host your podcast on Buzzsprout today and earn a $20 Amazon gift card when you sign up for a paid subscription. Podcasting doesn't have to be hard. Join Buzzsprout today using the link in the description. So Loki is insisting on laying next to me and playing next to me. So I apologize if you hear his bell. He just jumped off. Yeah. I apologize if you hear him throughout this episode. But if I don't let him sit next to me while I'm recording, he will just sit outside the door and scream. And you will definitely hear that. So there is far less data and research of the increased purchase of non-canine pets following film and TV, and really more research needs to be conducted as many of these result in conservation issues due to an increase in wild-caught animals for the pet trade. So first, let's talk about mammals other than dogs that have been influenced by popular TV and movies for the pet trade. Rats, guinea pigs, and hamsters were all really overbred and sold to inexperienced and under-researched families after films such as Ratatouille, G-Force, and Bolt. These animals are often less high maintenance than dogs and have shorter lifespans, but many animals suffered from families simply not knowing how to properly care for them. Luckily, these animals are already considered pets, so they really don't affect conservation much unless they are released into the wild after families no longer want them, which we will get into later. However, just like with dogs, there can be an increase in inbreeding and subsequential health and genetic issues with a rapid increase in demand. Unfortunately, many of these small, quote-unquote, pocket pets are seen as less than compared to dogs and cats. They often do not receive adequate care or see veterinarians when they need it. When they are no longer wanted, they can be released into the environment, causing local environmental destruction or inhumanely euthanized at home. Of course, this isn't to say that there are no ethical pocket pet owners out there. I myself have a rabbit and a hedgehog, which are both considered pocket pets, and I adore both of them. But I also know how to properly take care of them, and I take them to the vet when needed. And I love them the same as, and care for them the same as I do my cat and any other, like, quote unquote normal pet that I would have. The demand for primates as pets, such as chimps, capuchins, and other monkeys, dramatically increased after films such as Pirates of the Caribbean, The Wolf of Wall Street, Planet of the Apes, and The Hangover franchise, as well as TV shows featuring primates as pets, such as Friends. After these films came out, scientists and conservationists saw an increase in the illegal trade of primates around the world. Primates are wild animals and are not domesticated. They require extreme specialized care, large familial groups, and large amounts of space. Only accredited and well-trained zoos should be keeping monkeys and apes in captivity, as they are the only ones who can really do it ethically. After the release of Zootopia in 2016, the demand for fennec foxes as pets increased globally, especially in China. The Humane Society International reported that online queries for fennec foxes was, quote, nearly zero before the film and had a peak of 6,500 a day only 2 weeks later. China is one of the biggest global culprits for illegal trading of poached wildlife and animal parts. Research has also suggested, due to visual media catering to dogs and cats being vastly different, it has created the culture of dogs versus cats that we see today. You may even call yourself a dog or a cat person. Though I love both of them, I have referred to myself as a cat person in the past. And that is something that is largely due to the media that we consume. Films and visual media often label cats as the bad characters, for example, Lucifer in Cinderella, Snowball in Stuart Little, and the dogs as the good characters. As a result, cats have gotten an overall bad reputation among viewers, and cat owners are often faced with stereotypes against them. For example, good people love dogs, bad people love cats. We saw this in Cinderella and Lady and the Tramp. And even movies that show cats in a positive light, such as the Aristocats, tend to show dogs as neutral rather than dogs as the enemy or the bad guy. Of course, the stereotypes against cats have lasted a lot longer than we've had visual media, such as when they were labeled as partners to witches during the Salem witch trials and before the Salem witch trials, which I have done a whole episode about. You can tell I really do love cats, and they definitely deserve more than the stereotypes we put against them. So how is this affecting fish, birds, and reptiles? So non-mammal pet species. When Finding Nemo and Finding Dory came out, the online search for clownfish and blue tang skyrocketed. Pet stores all over the world also reported an increase in families coming in and requesting a clownfish or blue tang or a Nemo or a Dory. Both of these fish are saltwater fish whose tanks are extremely difficult and expensive to maintain without the proper knowledge. I found a few articles that have differing opinions on whether the actual purchase of these fish increased following the films, though it is a little more difficult to research as fish do not need the same registration as dogs do. So it is fairly easy to pull up public records of, say, rabies tags and categorize the increased number of dog breeds versus people who can just buy a fish and don't necessarily need to register it, or, you know, they don't take it outside, so you don't see more of them just out and about. In addition, the recorded observations of the sale of these fish prior to the films were really not well kept, resulting in a major limitation to comparing before and after data. The Harry Potter series resulted in the increased interest in owls worldwide, especially snowy owls. In the height of popularity of the series, the purchase and trade of owls as pets increased, especially in the UK, where there are some domesticated owls and some people do keep them as pets. Owls are another example of really wildlife. I just said domesticated, but they're really just breeding them in captivity versus taking them from the wild. So owls are wildlife that really should not be kept as pets, as most people do not have the adequate space or resources to properly care for them. Not to mention they are nocturnal and are extremely stressed out by anything other than a nocturnal schedule. You can listen to my episode on animal cafes, where I really discuss in more detail about the private ownership of owls and how it really affects their mental and emotional health to not be kept in a proper area or to be in the light during the nighttime or, you know, whatever. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise, both the TV show and the films, showed an increase in demand for tortoises and turtles as pets. Tortoises especially are incredibly long-lived, living over 100 years depending on the quality of care and which species. Any long-lived animals should really not be purchased as babies unless you have a set plan on who will take over their care after your passing, because they will outlive you. Similarly to pocket pets, tortoises and turtles are often released into the wild or inhumanely euthanized when they are no longer wanted, rather than taken to a shelter. I did read an interview with someone who worked at the Humane Society, and like the big organization, not just an individual one, and they do say that they predict that the majority of tortoises and turtles that are no longer wanted after interest in these franchises and films decline are either released or flushed down the toilet, which will ultimately kill them. So let's talk about the consequences that these films and TV media are having on pets, on the environment, and on us. As a budget traveler, finding affordable yet safe accommodation while traveling can be daunting. There have literally been horror movies made about bad hostels and hotels. I always use Hostel World to book my hostels around the world. With over 36,000 listed hostels in 180 countries around the world and 13 million verified reviews, I can trust that whatever room I book through Hostel World will be clean, affordable, and most importantly, safe. Book your first hostel with Hostel World using the link in the description. For just a second, let's think about the worst that could happen during a vacation. Maybe your expensive camera broke while on an African safari. Maybe your luggage was lost on your way to Europe, or your flight was canceled altogether. Maybe you got sick in South America and had to spend a few days in a hospital. Luckily, you booked travel insurance before your trip. Travel insurance protects you in all of these scenarios and more. I always use World Nomads because their coverage makes the most sense for me as a traveler who frequently participates in adventurous activities, visits multiple countries per trip, and carries expensive equipment for my blog and podcast. Check out World Nomads rates for your next trip abroad using the link in the description. When companion animals are brought to shelters in huge numbers, there often isn't enough room for them. Animals experience overcrowding in these situations, the increased spread of disease, and their personal needs in terms of affection, exercise, and behavioral management is often neglected because there are just too many of them for the staff to handle. Dogs that experience major behavioral problems due to trauma, as well as those seriously injured or ill, or even have inbreeding genetic issues, are often euthanized to make room for the large number of incoming animals in the shelter. When living animal actors are used in live-action films, they are often put in unethical situations for the sake of the media. Wild animals, such as apes and monkeys, are put in a very unnatural environment and forced to behave unnaturally. We saw with Travis the chimp a couple of episodes ago that this can have really devastating results in their mental and physical health, as well as the safety of those around them over long periods of time. Now, this doesn't mean you can't enjoy previous movies that have had live animal actors. I mean, one of my all-time favorite movies in the world is George of the Jungle, and Lord knows that movie had a lot of living animal actors. It just means that now that we really know better moving forward, we shouldn't be using living wildlife in movies unless it's in like a very natural setting and, you know, we're in their environment rather than bringing them into ours and ensuring their safety as much as possible. some animals do die or become really injured as a result of overworking or an inadequate environment, housing, or food conditions on the sets of these shows. Even shows that feature the no animals were harmed and the making of this film or this program have been revealed by press to have contributed to animals' deaths or injuries directly from the show. Studies conducted in the mid-2000s also showed that using primate actors resulted in viewers thinking that the animals were less at risk than they actually were regarding their conservation status. The severe anthropomorphism of animals shown in film and TV create an unrealistic expectation behind these animals as well, which owners soon realize after they purchase them and bring them home. This can also change perceived behavior of wildlife, which can put both wildlife and tourists at risk. Tourists may want to get closer to these animals after seeing them in a film, resulting in an increase in unethical tourism activities such as walking with lions, animal selfies, and riding elephants. They may also want to get up close to them in the wild, closer than they normally would, and animals frequently injure people who do this. Like, you are putting yourself at really extreme danger by getting close to many of these animals in the wild, and more people are doing it because of the anthropomorphized animals that they see in films and TV. Finally, there are also issues worldwide with people releasing their animals that are no longer wanted into the wild. This can cause massive ecological and conservation problems long term. For example, released rabbits have devastated grassy areas in Australia due to their quick reproduction cycle. Monkeys and pythons have caused major conservation issues in the Everglades in Florida. And even goldfish that have been released or flushed down the toilet and survived have eaten resources and spread disease in freshwaterways. Invasive species is one of the biggest threats to most ecosystems outside of habitat loss. And the invasive species can outcompete the native species for resources, kill the native species directly through hunting or the spread of disease, and overall throw off the delicate balance that many of these ecosystems are trying to maintain. There is some good that has been brought about by these movies. Throughout this chaos, there have been some glimmers of positive results. The reputation of rats as pets got a little better after Ratatouille came out. They were known more for their intelligence, their affection, and their cleanliness after the film, instead of viewed as much as vermin by many people. Of course, rats and mice are still kind of viewed in that negative light overall, but there are many more devoted rat and mouse and just rodent owners and pet owners in the world now after they were shown in a positive light in these films. Families who do proper research in animals they buy or adopt after being exposed to them in media can give an animal an incredible home, often an animal that they may have overlooked as a pet in the past. There are so many incredible animals out there that you can have as pets, and a lot of the times they can be overlooked. So if you all of a sudden want a pet bearded dragon after watching Game of Thrones, or maybe a husky, or, you know, a special kind of fish, that's totally fine as long as you do your due diligence and you do the research and you fully prepare both yourself and your home and anyone else in your home for the arrival of your new family member. Different media with proper conservation discussions, either during the media or surrounding the media, does help raise awareness of different species and can increase conservation interest surrounding these animals. We saw some of this with chimpanzees shown in a more natural environment, as in not performing chimpanzees, but chimpanzees shown kind of more in the wild. And more people around the world became more interested in ocean and coral reef conservation after Finding Nemo and Finding Dory came out. Movies such as Free Willy, The Cove, and Blackfish also highlighted detrimental treatment of wildlife in inadequate captivity settings. This has forced these destinations to dramatically change their treatment and environment for these captive wildlife or end captivity of these species altogether. For example, SeaWorld is phasing out the captivity of cetaceans, aka whales and dolphins, in their parks as a result of public outcry after Blackfish came out. For many, movies and TVs are also the only way for them to see certain wild animals. So it's not bad as a whole. We just have to kind of let people know and remind them not to buy or adopt animals on a whim. Again, it's not inherently wrong to fall in love with a breed or a species of animal after being exposed to it in media. You may have never even considered this animal as a pet to begin with. However, proper research does need to be done before bringing a new animal into your home, because then it does become a new family member. Every different species requires different specialized care in order for them to stay healthy and thrive in a new environment. If you know these requirements and can provide them, go for it. I myself have a pet snake. I've had other reptiles in the past. I even have poison dart frogs. But myself and my partner have done thorough research on them, and we provide them the absolute best care that we can. In addition, more rescues catering to exotic pets should be opened and ethically run. As of right now, most humane societies and local animal rescues only house dogs and cats, with a few taking in pocket pets such as guinea pigs, rabbits, and hamsters, and even fewer allowing exotics, especially non-mammal animals. We're talking our lizards, our snakes, our tortoises and turtles. They often don't have anywhere to go. This could dramatically decrease the dumping of exotic pets and the resulting ecological impact, as well as rehome some of these pets rather than continue to support breeding and poaching of these animals from wildlife. A pet is not a fad. It is a huge commitment, no matter how short-lived the animal is, and usually a multi-year commitment to a decades-long commitment, depending on the species. Some animals are extremely expensive to care for, while others require hours of your attention a day. Exotic pets also require extreme specialized care, and it can be difficult to find a veterinarian nearby if they become ill or injured. It's important to remember that most of the evidence supporting the increased sale of wild animals, such as clownfish and owls, is anecdotal, and many of the peer-reviewed data-driven articles found very little evidence of this actually occurring. A big however here. Most of these articles and peer-reviewed studies only tracked the legal sale of these animals. When it comes to the wildlife pet trade, most of it is done illegally. Animals caught from the wild rather than bred in captivity for the pet trade are often cheaper, as well as not advertised as a poached animal, so you often don't realize that you're purchasing an animal poached from the wild. Exotic animal smuggling is the third highest illegal trade in the world, right behind drugs, illegal arms, and tied with human trafficking. This makes the real numbers of exotic and wild animals being purchased after viewing popular media extremely hard to calculate. If we knew exactly how many of these animals were being illegally traded, they probably wouldn't be illegally traded nearly as much. The whole point of it being a black market and it being illegal is we don't really have exact numbers. In addition, there is historical evidence of wild and exotic pets being simply released when no longer wanted versus being taken to a shelter as dogs and cats are. Therefore, it's a lot more difficult to predict or count the number of these exotics that are being relinquished after no longer wanted. Many exotics and wildlife species are also illegal to own in many cities, states, and countries, so the record of people owning them is extremely limited because they are trying to hide them. Finally, films that depict animal characters should have a warning or note at the beginning of the film or show to warn viewers to do their due diligence and research animal care before bringing home the animal in the media. This could have drastically changed the outcome from films such as 101 Dalmatians. All right, I wanted to end this episode on a really amazing piece of news. Since researching for this episode, the U.S. Senate passed the Big Cat Protection Act, which bans the individual ownership of large cats, such as tigers and lions. This is absolutely fantastic news. Individuals who do not have an AZA or real sanctuary credential will not be able to legally own large cats. More of these acts really need to be passed regarding the ownership of especially dangerous wildlife or protected wildlife, because these are some of the animals that people are wanting to go out and get, no matter how ridiculous it is, after seeing them in film and TV. So that is all I have for you today. I want to wish all of you very happy holidays, whether you celebrate Hanukkah or Christmas or winter solstice or Kwanzaa or a combination of them or something else altogether. If you want to give me a little gift, you can leave a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to Humane Nature on and hit that follow button. This helps others find my show, and it's a completely free gift, so it is a win-win for both of us. If you would like to further support my show, you can support me on Patreon. Patrons get ad-free episodes early, as well as bonus episodes every month. And in the future, I will be adding some other little bonuses in there for you guys as well. I will hear you again in February for season 2 of Humane Nature. Sources for today's show can be found in the link in the description. Thanks for listening.